The other day I saw a copy of the Thanksgiving edition of Gourmet magazine. And you'll never guess what was on the cover. It was this enormous turkey. And you'll never guess what was inside this special holiday edition. Fantastic recipes for, you'll never guess, stuffing and cranberries and squash and green beans and pumpkin pie. Now, granted, there were a few exotic ingredients included in Gourmet's version of these old favorites, like black truffles and shiitake mushrooms. But no matter how you stuff it, it's still good old turkey with dressing and all the trimmings. It seems that at other holiday celebrations, family tastes and family traditions, ethnicities, and creativity can alter menus drastically. But not at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving refuses to change. I think that Thanksgiving is probably our most traditional of all our holidays. You know, but the thing that really delights me every year is that Thanksgiving, in spite of the approach of Black Friday and Christmas celebrations, Thanksgiving has still resisted the commercialization better than any other feast day. Except for putting up a few of those fold-open accordion kind of turkeys and displays in the middle of our tables. Tables that were already groaning with goodies. There are no extraneous gifts to buy or alternative secular deities to appease like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. Still today, Thanksgiving is what it has always been. Gathering together with good food and good friends and close family to give thanks for all that life has to offer. We, the people of the United States of America, have had plenty to say on this official day of thanks. Even in the worst of times, we're a country with unimaginable riches. We have abundant food and comfortable homes. Make life easier gadgets, and most of us have a computer in our pockets. Yes, there are those who are hungry and homeless around us, but as a nation, we do have the capacity, however much the compassion or will is lacking, to tend to the most basic needs of all of our neighbors. Among those gifts we've celebrated and for which we've given thanks has been one of the rarest but least appreciated, and that is the security and safety of living in this country. Isolated by oceans and walled off by military might, our world wars were largely fought on foreign shores. North Americans, and especially us United States Americans, have grown used to high standards of domestic tranquility. Even if we only truly considered this blessing one day a year, we have been thankful for a peaceful homeland. So I wonder, these days when you read the paper and you watch the nightly news, do you feel thankful this November? After living with that constant threat of terrorism in your life, do you feel thankful? After watching and listening to the depths of the political rhetoric over the last 2 years, do you really feel thankful this morning? Or do you feel less like bowing your head in thanks than you do shaking your fist at the heavens and shouting, "Thanks for what?" In this week's lesson, Jesus is standing before the beautiful rebuilt temple, the center of Jewish faith and piety. And around him is this weary band of disciples. But instead of claiming a place for himself in the hierarchy of the temple life, or using this location to unveil his true identity and his mission, Jesus chooses this moment to pronounce the destruction of all of these cherished holy places. The temple will be completely destroyed. Not one stone will be left upon another. What would you say if you were in their position and someone was talking about this building we cherish so much? The priority of Jerusalem, he was saying, will be reduced to rubble. Just imagine what those disciples must have thought at that moment. Imagine you were one of them. And you had faithfully trudged across all of the countryside with Jesus to reach this sacred spot. For what purpose? For this news? Thanks for what, Jesus? And you know, that wasn't the worst of it. Now Jesus declared that the collapse of the temple and the loss of Jerusalem's holy status weren't even the tip of the iceberg here. As apocalyptic as these events might be, there were much more worse disasters yet to come. Bloody wars and earthquakes and famines and plagues were all waiting in the wings. Thanks for what, Jesus? And even that wasn't the worst of it. Jesus in the lesson discloses to his band of 12 that there were special miseries and hardship that await them. Those who remain faithful are guaranteed such special attention as arrest and persecution and public inquisitions, betrayal by friends and family, even death at the hands of those they trusted. Thanks for what, Jesus? I guess when you step back, no one could possibly accuse Jesus of sugarcoating and frosting the future for his followers. Yet in the face of all these apocalyptic events, all these life-altering, death-dealing moments, that Jesus offers his disciples the unwielding, an unswerving promise of his constant presence. The trials of mind and heart and soul demand the testaments of the words of our mouths. They demand the meditations of our hearts and the deeds of our lives. And here, in this lesson, Jesus pledges to fill our mouths and our minds and our lives with his words and his wisdom. It's this cruel, crucifying world that releases in us Jesus' divine spirit. It releases Jesus' unstoppable love. It's the nothingness of an open mind, an unfettered heart, an unprepared defense that allows Jesus to stroll into the center of our souls and rescue us from the clutches of this world. Jesus doesn't call his disciples to be great warriors capable of protecting the faith from the world. Jesus doesn't call his disciples to be filled with wit and wisdom, capable of constructing apologetic arguments that make faith inescapable. Jesus doesn't even call his disciples to be wonder workers or peacemakers pouring calming and quieting oils on the waters of dissension that foam between families and countries and nationalities and religions. What Jesus calls his disciples to be is open, empty vessels. Open and empty vessels, ready to be willing to be filled with the love of God. To be filled with the presence of God. the hatreds and the horrors that explode around us on a daily basis are beyond the help and healing of human hands. No one person, no one government, no one plan can possibly bring peace to our land. Not one of them can possibly restore harmony to this world on its own. But I sincerely believe that by working together with the love of God in our hearts, that we can make a difference. As we count our blessings this week, ask yourself, thanks for what, Jesus? Thank you for emptying our minds of judgment so your wisdom can reveal God's plan and God's purpose for this day. Thank you for emptying our hearts of hatred and despair so that your love can flow in and fill us to the overflowing, allowing God's love to overflow to the world. Thank you for emptying our souls of selfishness and fear so that we might have life. So as we join together this week with family and with friends, whether it's with a huge table groaning with food or a single serving, we disciples need to open ourselves to the Christ once again and give thanks. Amen.